Stand. Let's just go ahead and do a chorus of that. How we love Jesus. Praise God. Everybody just say this evening. Spoken prayer request on my right side this evening. Lord, good to see you, Brother Sim. Good to see you. And you're doing better. God bless you. Amen. Any spoken prayer request on my left side this evening? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sister Linda, I see your hand. Amen. And we're going to continue to lift him up. That's right. Any other spoken prayer requests? Brother Chris, I see you way back there.
Yes.
Amen. We're agreeing with you, brother. We're going to pray the same prayer. Absolutely. In the name of Jesus. I don't miss anyone up on the wall.
Just continue to remember my mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just continue to remember my mom. Sister Alice, she was on her way just a little bit ago, either to emergency room or immediate care. I don't know what's wrong, but I need to pray for her.
Prayer requested. Also, if you have an unspoken, go by the raising of your hand. Brother Eddie, would you leave?
Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this God together here today. Father, I pray for you, God, I pray for blessings down upon you. God, ask you to reach out to those who seek for you. God, you know the prayer requests. God, we give them to you right now. Strengthen them, God, bless them. God, I pray for you. God, I pray for those who are still uncommitted. Burden their hearts. Father, just glory, every song, every word.
Amen. Amen. And before you sit down, we're going to do a little, instead of a congregational number, we're going to do a little change up. Miss Jennifer, good to have you with us. Like I said, back from you getting so much better and also back with us on a Wednesday night. But Miss Penny, let's all do Jesus. I'm going to ask y'all to turn on y'all's mics back here too. But we're going to, let's just worship the Lord. I think the testimonies tonight and the prayer request, we're just going to call on the name of Jesus, the most perfect name there is.
Savior, Jesus. and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you can, turn around and tell somebody that Jesus loves them. And how much we love each and every one of y'all too. Praise God. So good to have our visitors here tonight and those that are able to be with us. Those of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Remember, if you too have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section. Even if you're watching this at a later date, we do keep up with it and we do love to pray. And just in the name of Jesus, because it's not about us, it's all about Him. Praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and continue and call on some special singers. But I've got an announcement, and we'll get ready to take up the evening offering. Don't forget, if you haven't already, mark your calendar for July 9th through 12th. It's our vacation Bible school. It's going to be an exciting time. Make plans to come. It's a very, very busy time, and we'd love to have y'all. It's a great ministry. And as I've said many, many times, and you'll, as long as I can just praise the Lord, I want to say it many, many more. There are many times that as some of the young people bring in their kids now, we realize they will give us a testimony. They were the young ones that were here when they were kids. And to see them now with their kids, the testament of how great God is. It's not how great First Pentecostal is, but it's how great God is and His blessings on this ministry. Please, if you'd like to be a part of it, let us know. Also, I'm just looking. The only other announcement I've got here is we get into July and even all the activities this June, but go ahead and mark your calendar for July 5th, the ice cream social, and July 28th, there's going to be a business meeting, and July 30th, homecoming. It's going to be a busy month. Anything? I know there's a lot of other announcements, but I don't have them in front of me. I see a hand. Who's somebody's pointing? Sister Linda. Oh, okay. I still don't have that written down. I got to make sure I get those notes. Yeah, ladies, if you'd like to be part of the Ida Bell ministry, it's just a wonderful time. It'll be at 10:30 Saturday over in the Curtis Center. Please, if you'd like to, make plans to come. And sometimes they go out and eat afterwards. I don't know the exact itinerary for this Saturday, but just make plans. It's a wonderful ladies' ministry and really supports and prays for our church. So we just love them. Thank you, sister. Well, we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Don't forget, our Wednesday night offering goes to the Good Samaritan Fund, and it's a wonderful ministry, and God has blessed us with it. Every little dollar, every little dime, it's just been wonderful to help those in need. Thank you, brother. Feel like praying for us this evening? I got it. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love you. And to Lord, again, as we come to you ready to take up this offering, Lord, you've blessed us so much, and to Lord, with your blessings to be upon us that we may just return a portion of what you've blessed us with, dear Lord. This Good Samaritan ministry, dear Lord, I ask you to bless it. Continue with it. I ask you to bless each and every hand that gives. Lord, we also ask you to touch those that are in need right now. And, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Nikki, if you would. Come on up, please. And then after her, Sister Linda. And then we're going to ask Miss Jennifer if she'd do it.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
You know, I can't help but say that every time I get up here, I feel like that the songs that have been sang before me have just been ordained by God. And I'm sure everybody that follows some of us, then they feel the same way, because God knows what's going on. You know, he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what was going on in my life on Sunday night. Even though I've lost my brother, he's not really lost. We say that, but I know where he is. He's in heaven, and I'm looking forward to going and seeing him again one day. And I have many more loved ones over there that are waiting for me than I have down here. It's almost like we can't even have a family reunion anymore. It's not but about three or four of us, you know. And that's kind of heartbreaking in a way. But I'm glad that God knows everything that we face on a daily basis. And he brings us through every time. The title of this song, it's not a new song. And I don't have the Hoppers to back me up. But I have some beautiful, beautiful people that play beautiful instruments, and they're going to help me. But you know, the Lord's coming back. He's going to come back after us, and we've got to be ready. We need to be ready. If we're not, Today is the day that we need to make things ready. Y'all listen to the words as I try to sing. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Longing for that glorious day when Jesus Christ shall come. I long to see His blessed face. When all the saints throughout the ages shall be gathered home, the ones who trusted in His grace. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King, and take me to my home beyond the skies, up there where saints will shout and sing. Oh, what a glorious time 'twill be when through the air I'll go to meet the one who for me. My sorrows, fears, my trials, tears will all be left below, and then my way will be complete. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King, and take me to my home beyond the clouds, up there where saints will shout and sing. Oh, what a glorious time will be when through the air I'll go to meet the one who died for me. My sorrows, fears, my trials, tears will all be left below, for then my way will be complete. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King, and take me to my home beyond the skies, up there where saints will shout and sing. Up there where saints will shout and sing.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at A flat. There's no problem so hard that God cannot solve it. It's called He Will Carry You. There is no problem so hard God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so big He cannot move it. There is no storm cloud so dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. He said,
to me. No problem so hard God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so big He cannot move it. There is no storm cloud so dark My God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you.
Singer that didn't get to sing Sunday night, and she had a request. So here's an opportunity for you to fill that request for Brother Chris. Shepherd.
Shepherd of my valley, Lord, I just
make it without the Lord? Aren't you glad we don't have to? Amen. He sticketh closer than a brother. My. It's good to know that the Lord is there for us. Amen. Through all of the troubles and trials, sickness and affliction that we may incur down here, man, we know that all of it's going to be just temporary. We're going to a better place. Amen. How many is thankful that God has prepared a place that where the Lord is, we will be there with Him forever, ever. And in a glorified body, one without aches and pains. If you're looking forward to that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. I believe it was David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I know that there's nothing that's really holy about the building. It's the church and the gathering of the saints together that bring all of those wonderful spirits, amen, together. And it's just a wonderful feeling when we gather together in God's house. If you have your Bibles tonight for just a little while, we want to go to the book of Galatians. In the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning with verse number 13, we'll read down through verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. When you get there, say praise the Lord. Paul's writing said in verse number 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord, and how we thank you for your precious holy word. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would just anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, let the Holy Spirit speak to us tonight. God, we thank you for this word. I pray, God, that it will produce growth and edification into our spirit. I pray that we will be submissive and obedient, Lord, to your will and to your word. Father, we do, again, remember those who are suffering. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Some have lost loved ones, Father, and I pray, God, that you would just intercede on their behalf. God, touch and comfort, strengthen and heal those that stand in need of prayer tonight. And we'll be careful to give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you love the Lord, let him know it with a big old hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. I often say, I hope you enjoy doing that, because in heaven, I think we're going to do that a lot. Amen. What I read, we're going to praise the Lord forever and ever and ever for an eternity. And I'm going to need a brand new body, amen, to be able to do that. Tonight I want to bring us a message just entitled Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I'm sure that if you've been in church for a number of years or maybe just for a little while, you've heard that term. Maybe you've heard it quite often. Probably there have been songs written about it. I know that there has been countless sermons preached on walking in the Spirit. Basically what the songs and what the ministers are referring to, and even the Apostle Paul here, is that we need, in order to walk in the Spirit, we need to yield to his control. I mean, knows what a yield sign is. It's one of those signs that you're merging and you speed up real fast, right? You better look, amen. You better yield if there's something coming your way. But if we are to yield to whose control? The control of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that the Lord has given us, amen, as a comforter, as a help, also as an instructor. Also to follow his lead, amen. Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He has given us the perfect example, amen. If you want to know how to walk in the Spirit, read the exploits in the life of Jesus Christ, amen. How that he handles people, how did he went about conversations, how he loved folks, how he reached out. It didn't matter their background. It didn't matter if they were rich or poor or famous or infamous or whatever the case may be, whether they were lost or whether they was a firm and regular attendee in the synagogue. Jesus reached out to all. And Paul is reassuring us that in order to walk in the Spirit, we must know how to love one another. And also, not only to yield, but to follow his lead. And then, thirdly, allow him to exert His influence over us. When we walk in the Spirit, we are not supposed to lead Jesus around. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And in order to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, we must yield, we must follow, and we must allow Him in order to lead us and guide us and direct us in every avenue of our life. Not only in just major decision making, but each and every day of our life. And certainly the Lord will be there for us. Also, we are looking to Jesus for direction. You may have been born again, saved for many, many years, but I will assure you, no matter how long you've been serving Christ, no matter how long you've been a member of the church, we'll never get to a point where we won't need the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you've been saved a year or 20 years, 30, 40, or 50 years, we still need the direction of the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and guide us and direct us. Now, we look in the mirror and we see flesh, correct? We don't really see our spirit, but we know that spirit is there. But we have to walk in the order to please the Lord and to be obedient unto His word and to do what the Apostle Paul was telling and inferring that the church must do. We must allow that is within us to control that houses the spirit. Amen? Because if we let the flesh dictate to the spirit, if we let the flesh do what it wants to do, and that it would desire the things of the world because the flesh is carnal. So this is an admonition from the Apostle Paul to the church there at Ephesus to be able to be led by the Spirit. Now this comes on the heel of some debating and some controversy over some certain things that the Apostle Paul had even instructed the church there. And how many knows the church still needs instruction? How many knows the best instruction we can get comes from God's holy word? Amen. There's an answer. I will assure you there's an answer to every one of life's issues and problems right there in the written book of the Lord. Amen. And God will lead you and guide you and direct you to that particular scripture or verse or chapter that will help you. So there was some controversy here, and the Apostle Paul began to share with them, you know, we need to understand that we need to love one another, because if we begin to bite and devour one another, then you yourself may be consumed by this. And that's so true. And the Apostle Paul, of all people, knew more about controversy and biting and devouring one another than probably any of the other apostles that were ministering that particular time. I remember that Paul was not always a Christian. Man, he was not always loving and forgiving. In fact, he was a direct enemy of the church of Christianity, and he was doing everything within his power and everything that he could do to rid that he thought it was a rebellion. He thought it was heresy. He thought it was an abomination to the Mosaic law, when nothing more, it was the fulfilling of the Mosaic law. So he was trying to root it out until the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of him. And we don't have time probably for everybody to testify tonight about how we were before the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of us. Amen. You know, there's things that are in my closet. I want to keep them in the closet. I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But you know what? I want to talk more about my future than about my past. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me and brought me out of that past, and He picked me up out of a miry pit of clay. And boy, it was miry. I mean, it was muddy, it was miry, it was sinking deeper and deeper and deeper, but the hand of the Lord spiritually reached down and lifted me up, amen. Not only lifted me up, but cleaned me off. Not only cleaned me off, but set me on a solid rock. Not only set me on a solid rock, but He began to direct my steps, amen. And He gave me the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to refer to it as, to lead me and guide me and direct me. And now the Word of God is encouraging me to walk in that newness of life and to walk in the Spirit, amen, as the Lord has given us that wonderful Spirit. And then he says, I want to go over to the book of Acts if we can, because this was the conversion of Saul. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but maybe just lay a little groundwork. How many knows that Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he was going with a letter And he had every intent of getting a hold of the Christians and bringing them out in chains or bonds or whatever he could, maybe putting them into prison. He was even responsible for some of the deaths of the Christians. But something happened, amen, and I don't know where your spiritual road of Damascus was. You may have been raised in church. You may not have had that opportunity. Just being raised in church will not save you. Or if it was, amen, you know, I'd lay the mic down and we'd just go grab everybody we could and say, you got to be here in the church, amen, because if you're not in the church, you're not going to make it to heaven. But it's not about church enrollment. It's about a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about understanding why Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary. It's understanding about the blood, the precious blood that flowed down that cross, amen, that gave us redemption from our sin. And it's about a coming to an altar of repentance, wherever that altar may be. It doesn't necessarily have to be the altar in the church, but some point of contact when you come with a broken spirit, a contrite spirit, and you kneel and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of the life that you once lived, forgive you of our walking in the flesh and not being led by the Spirit of the Lord, and knowing that we need that help, that comforter, to come and dwell within us, to lead us and guide us so that we can walk in the Spirit, operate in the Spirit, yield to His Spirit, allow Him to direct us and lead us and guide us, amen, and follow in His footsteps. If you want an example, follow after Jesus. I want to tell you something. There's some good people in this world. There's some precious saints of God. But every one of us are human. Every one of us are subject to falling by the wayside. You should not put your faith and trust and confidence in man, but put it in the power of God, in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have a much easier walk with the Lord, amen, if you follow Him. So sad to hear that folks got out of church because the pastor failed, or got out of church because an evangelist that they had a lot of confidence in. You know, we're human, folks. Every one of us are human. That's the reason we need to continue to walk in the newness of the Spirit of the Lord that He has given us. And even the Apostle Paul himself let them know that he once was against Christianity. He once was out, amen, to completely stop it. But something happened on his road to Damascus when the power of the Lord, the light shone from heaven. You remember the story. It struck him down. And, you know, he said, Lord, why persecutest thou me? He knew that it was the Lord. He didn't know it was anything else, but he understood that it was the power of the Lord. And it gave him an opportunity to go and have someone witness to him and tell him, open up his spiritual eyes about Christianity and about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. He accepted the Lord and he went on to be able to minister. And now he's ministering to other folks and telling them, you know what? I've been there. I've been on the other side. I've been there when I thought what I was doing was right. I've been there when I did not look through the eyes of the Spirit, but I looked through the eyes of flesh. And let me tell you something. The eyes of the flesh desire the things of the world. It is the Spirit that is within us that causes us to walk that straight and narrow way, amen, to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. So in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31, this is after the conversion of Paul. And we know that there was a change and a transformation that took place in the Apostle Paul or in Saul's life. And, you know, when we get saved, we certainly want to testify. And we certainly want to tell others just what the Lord has done. And I've often said, nobody can tell your testimony better than you can. You know, we can talk, well, brother so-and-so, he's got saved and living for the Lord now. What a change he made. And we can tell that. But, you know, that brother, he can tell it better than anybody. Why? Because it happened to him. Or that sister can tell it because it happened to him. Can you remember the day, the night, the whenever it was that Jesus Christ came into your life? You didn't have to go around with a sign or one of those things saying, I'm a born-again Christian. People knew something was different about you. Amen. Thank God that there's something different about us when we come to the knowledge of Christ and we open up our heart's door and invite Him in. So the Apostle Paul began to, it was a complete turnaround, because he joined with the disciples and he began to minister and he began to pray and he began to seek the will of the Lord. And You know what happened to the disciples? The disciples looked at him a little funny. They said, wait a minute. Isn't this that person that was out to stop Christianity? Isn't this that person who was there at the stoning of Stephen? You know, so many times, and this is not going to cost you anything, Esther, but this is kind of good for the church. When God saves somebody, it may not be somebody that we thought would ever get saved, but when they come in, let's don't look at their past. Come on. That's God is forgiving God, and he wants the church to be a forgiving God too. But here were the disciples, and here was those that were living and working for Jesus, and they wanted to love Paul, and they wanted to accept him, but they were still just a little bit leery of him. Because, to be honest, they was quite afraid of him because of the power and authority they once had. So the Apostle Paul had to basically prove himself that I'm not the same person. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I'm not the same person that I was. You know, I was raised in church. I was brought to church. And as I said earlier, you know, that in itself, by itself, would not get me to heaven. But I had to come to Jesus Christ on his terms. So the Apostle Paul, in verse number 26 of the 9th chapter, it said, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or wanted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Church, don't ever say, I can't believe that God saved that person. Amen. But by the grace of God, where would we be? Amen. You know what? You're not too vile. You're not too mean. You're not too much of a sinner that God cannot save you. Amen. Thank God. But it takes a willing heart. It takes a repentive spirit. And it takes a submissiveness unto the Lord Jesus Christ to say, Lord, from this day forward, I want to yield to your spirit. I want to be led by you. Not my will, but thine be done in my life. The Apostle Paul did that. So now, it said then when Saul, or verse number 27, but Barnabas, one good brother, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldness at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Surely it's not the same person. Surely that's not Saul, but it was, amen, with a different spirit. Glory to God. Thank God for the different spirit. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Wait a minute. Wasn't he once their hero? Wasn't he once admired by those who were agnostic or didn't believe in Jesus or Christianity? But now they turned on him because he, in fact, now is one of them. We used to sing a song, I'm glad I'm one of them. Are you glad you're one of them? Not one of them that's in the world, but one of them that's been born again. One of them that's been washed in the blood of Jesus. One of them, thank God, amen, that's on their way to heaven, not because of what I've done, but oh, because of what he has done. So now that same group of people are wanting to kill him, wanting to slay him. So basically, in verse number 30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now, verse number 31 really intrigued me. It really certainly got my attention as I was reading. And listen to what it says. Everybody say, then. Then. You know, then changes a lot of things. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were before I get that word edified, before I get to that, when was the church restful? After the conversion of Saul and after he became a Christian and gave his life to Jesus. So many times we want the Lord to get the enemy out of our life. I don't care what you do with them, Lord. Well, maybe we've thought that but not really prayed that. But Lord, you know what a controversy, you know what a problem, you know what a situation. You know how they're coming against me, Lord. I just need you to move them out of my life. What if rather than moving them, he saved them? Fill them with his spirit. Wouldn't that be better? Amen. And make a brother or a sister out of them rather than maybe your arch enemy. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. And after that, the church began to multiply. The church began to be at rest. Now, I don't want you to think that maybe when God answers a prayer, all of a sudden the church is never going to have any more problems, never going to have any more issues, never going to have any more disturbances. As long as we're in this body of flesh, we're going to have issues. Amen. But greater is he that is within us, that spirit, than he that's in the world or he that comes against us. So it said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, growth and strengthened, and walking in the fear of the Lord. Basically what that means is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Walking in his Spirit, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, lead me, don't let me lead you. God, help me. See me through these situations. I'll praise you and love you. And whatever I face tomorrow, Lord, I know that I won't face it alone because that Spirit is within me. It said, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Begin to grow. Begin to experience people coming in and conversions and life-changing experiences. Folks, if you have had a born-again experience and it has not transformed your life, then maybe you say, Lord, did I fully repent? Did I fully invite you into my life? Not to just be a part of my life, but to be my life. Because I will assure you, and the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest example that there is a complete turnaround when we give our life or give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and open that door wide and say, Jesus, come in. You know, I can't make it on my own. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need you every day of my life. Can I get a witness? Do we need the Lord each and every day? I do. I've been saved many, many years. I've been preaching many, many years. But there's not a day go by that I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I just need him to rebuke my flesh. So wait a minute. Lord, the Spirit is what's supposed to be the strongest in my life, not the flesh overpowering the Spirit, but the Spirit overpowering the flesh. So walking in the Spirit. You're going to walk in the Spirit, but you're going to see flesh. You're going to be in a body of flesh. But again, it all comes down to who is the strongest, which is the more powerful. And it's going to be the one that you feed the most. You've heard that analogy before. So if our spirit becomes weak, then we're going to be more apt to do what the flesh wants to do, to see the faults in the world, to see the issues in the world, to maybe not be as dedicated and committed and faithful and praying and fasting and reading as we should. But if we continue to feed that spirit, and that spirit stays strong and powerful and full and just constantly feeding that spirit. How do you feed the spirit? On the word of God. On prayers and witnessing and testimony, singing praises and hymns unto the Lord, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let a day go by that you don't feed your spirit. You know what happens to your flesh when you don't feed it? It becomes weak. It becomes lethargic. It doesn't want to do anything. It doesn't want to get up and go. The same thing will happen to your spirit if you don't keep it fed and keep it fortified with the power of God and being able to walk. And when we say walk, that means operating in the Spirit of the Lord. That's where the love comes in. And that's what this whole thing was talking about. You don't need to be grumbling and moaning and fussing and having things between you and one another because you're supposed to love one another as you love yourself. And if you're walking in the Spirit and you let the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, work and operate in your life, amen, I'll tell you this, you're going to be a lot easier to be around. Amen. Glory to God. But you know, the world's not going to like you. The world's not going to like you. You know, I've been hearing things this week where people are saying really hurtful things about folks. And I'm thinking, do they even know the person? You know how this is. It happens every 4 years.
just throwing rocks, throwing stones, whatever, back and forth, this, that, and the other. And I know it's politics and stuff like that. But then I began to think, do you really even know the person? And you're putting them down. You know, we need to be praying for our entire country. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for those who are in power. But most of all, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, your will be done, not ours. Amen. And I'm speaking to our nation. A nation that has changed their God is not a nation. We don't ever need to change our devotion. We don't ever need to change our God. God is still in control, and we want to be a powerful nation. We want to be a powerful people. If we want to be a powerful church, amen, we must let the Lord lead us and guide us and direct us. And in order to do that, we need to walk in His Spirit each and every day. Not just when you come to church. It's good to feel that spirit of the church. And then when we get together in one mind and one accord, singing, praising, worshiping the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's no better feeling that I know of, amen, than getting with a group of saints of God who love the Lord and want to worship and praise Him. Amen. And thank God for that. But if we don't feed that spirit is going to let the flesh dictate what we do, how we do, when we do. So the Apostle Paul said, you know, after all these things happened, then the church began to be multiplied. It began to walk in the fear of the Lord. So a transformation basically is a wonderful change of life. God has given us of His Spirit. I mean, He didn't have to. He didn't have to. But He did. Why? For God so loved the world. Of His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He gave us that comforter. Aren't you thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that is within you? Church, in a nutshell, here tonight, in this little sermon, feed the Spirit. Feed the Spirit so that you can walk in the Spirit. May God bless you. Love you so very much. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Hope you have a wonderful week. Amen. Hope to see you Sunday. Amen, and just get ready to worship and praise the Lord. I do have one announcement, and it's for basically the men of the church that Brother Jefferson Morrow, where he goes to church there in Lithia Springs, they're having a men's conference June the 10th. That's on a Saturday. I think that's two Saturdays away, Saturday after next. And I believe it starts at 10. I'll get back with you exactly when the time is. But if any of y'all would like to come, starts at 9 on the 10th. Okay, thank you for that. And that's in Lithia Springs. If you need directions, it's on, I think they've listed on the church website as well as a couple of places. But I will be one of the speakers. Not that that matters, but would you come and support that? I believe you would be fed and enjoy the fellowship of the men. Men who need to be on fire for God. Amen. Need to be the men, the husbands, the dads, the granddads that they need to be. Not in our opinion, but what the word of the Lord says that we should be. So be praying for it. If you can't make it, be praying for those who come. All right. If you would stand tonight, give you an opportunity. If you need prayer. Yes, ma'am. Oh, come preach us a sermon, sister.
Y'all know me at all, you know, I don't like to stand up in front of people and talk. Now, I can talk to y'all one-on-one and talk your ear off, but my heart's just pounding. The Lord had told me I had to do this, and I told Him I would, and then I said, maybe He'll forget. So this is just something to tell y'all. The Lord will meet you where you are. He will talk to you the way you can understand it. He will lift your spirits, and He has a sense of humor. He honestly has a sense of humor. Now, I feel like I'm an old timer. I've been had the Holy Ghost since I was 10 years old, and I don't think He's ever talked to me as plain as He has this last week. Last week I was sick. Y'all know I was sick. I'm having to give you a little background before I hit the funny part. So, anyway, I was sick. Went home sick Monday. Had a stomach virus. Y'all know what that entails. And I will do almost anything not to throw up. Because, I mean, once I do that, I am down for the count. So I was there last Monday, after I got home by myself. Tommy was still at work, and I was praying. I said, Lord, please just heal me. Please just take this nausea from me. Please, please, Lord. And he said, go throw up. You'll feel better. And I said, but Lord, I was just whining, you know, Lord, you can do anything. You can make me not sick. I don't have to throw up to feel better. Please, just make me better. Go throw up, and you'll feel better. So I did, and I did. And so went on my way. I was out of work again Tuesday. So wasn't feeling much better Wednesday. Felt a little better Thursday. Got sick again Friday at work. Had to come home. So, again, laying there, Lord, please don't make me throw up. I'm so sick. Please don't make me throw up. Well, I had to. So anyway, got better. You know, I was still so weak Saturday. I got up and I was whining because I still didn't feel good. I was depressed. I wanted my mama. And so I went in the living room by myself and I was sitting there and I was crying and I was praying. And then, you know, I thought, Lord, there's people so much worse off than I am. I feel so bad, you know, that here I am whining and praying about myself. So I started praying for all of y'all. Started praying for anybody I knew in church, anybody I knew was sick. Lord, heal my brothers and sisters, heal, you know, all these people, heal people in the hospital. So anyway, I got feeling better. You know, I was still kind of weak, but the Lord kind of lifted my spirits after I started praying for everybody. And I felt a little bit better, you know, and I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he says, now go throw up and you'll feel better. And I was like, really? He said, no, I'm just kidding. So that is why the Lord will meet you where you are in any need that you have, and he will make you laugh sometimes. He'll make you cry sometimes, but he's always there. He's always there to hold you up and give you a testimony. I don't know who needed this, somebody online, I don't know. Maybe it's just to see if I would do what he told me to do. But I just praise the Lord that he talks to me.
Well, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God works in mysterious ways, and that may seem a little comical, but, you know, I read a story where Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud, and stuck it on a blind man's eyes, and he was able to see when he went and washed it off. So don't think it extraordinary when God asks you to do something. Just be obedient. That's what he asks us to do. And I want to take just a second or maybe a minute here to say I really admire Brother Simeon. He has had one issue of affliction after another, but he's here tonight. He's given a wonderful testimony how the Lord has been with him. We've missed him, but he has been a sick man. But I thank God that his faith is strong and he's still here and still claiming victory. And we're just continuing to pray for you, Brother Simeon. We love you. Good to see you here with us tonight. Amen. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Love you, folks. God bless you.
Come on up. Anybody else need prayer tonight? Come on up. This altar is definitely open.
Yes. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank you for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. Our God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. When He moves among us, and all that He does, all of His mercy and all of His love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. So good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. Been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch. I've got legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. I've got to praise Him. As long as I breathe, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So for being so kind, God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. He's the rock that I run to when I'm overwhelmed. He's the place where I hide under His wings. He's not just a song. He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Blessings are His thoughts of you. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His. been so kind. God has been good.
Yes, he has.
So
yes,
good.
He has.
I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so good, so good. We have been blessed. Praise God, praise God. What a timely song, timely. God is always, and we just love each and every one of you. Thank you, Lord, as we stand together in faith and in prayer for one another. We know God's healing right now. He's already healed. And we're just by faith standing on His Word that we'll bring it to Him and have each and every situation anointed. We're going to pray. But God is great. We expect great testimonies of praise from each and every situation. I know He's reducing tumors and melanoma, every situation God has. And we also want to continue to pray for those that have lost loved ones and those that are still suffering and waiting on some. Maybe I talked to someone that's just waiting on a good report from the doctor. And we prayed for that situation too. And I said, do it by expectations. Don't use the word if. We can say God is. And that's exactly who He is. The same way with your prayer request tonight. Love each and every one of you. Again, if anyone else needs prayer, if you're online, please put it in the comments section and we'll gladly pray with you. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but first we got to invite you back Sunday morning, also to Sunday school Sunday morning. And just we have two adult classes, we have multiple children classes, and wonderful, wonderful ministries. And God is really working in everywhere. It's so obvious as we just look up in this beautiful sky. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for always being with us, dear Lord, for always reassuring us, dear Lord, not only that you're with us, but how great thou art. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, I ask you to keep each and everyone safe. Dear Lord, I ask for your blessing to be upon each and every family that's represented here in our teen class and in our young people's class. Dear Lord, we just praise you. We love you, dear Lord, as these summer vacations are starting. The travel's picking up, dear Lord, to keep each and everyone safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Y'all have a wonderful week. Rest of the week. God bless you.